this week, so that's great. I'm excited. I think Beth Moore is fantastic. Don't get me wrong. It's very loud. We used to, at Stettler, we used to sit in our offices, and the ladies would be having their Bible study like several rooms away, and all we could hear is Beth Moore the whole time. We're like, all right, that is intense. Michelle's away this week, so hopefully my dress is okay. She's usually the one that's like, that doesn't work together, so hopefully that works out. If you guys can just keep that in your prayers. She's down in Stellar because we had to ask the people in our home that was renting to actually depart. That's tough, and it's not fun to do. But we need to sell the place, and our realtor is like, it's not going to happen with someone in there. So we did have to ask them to leave, and it's obviously a tough situation when you ask someone to leave a house that they called home. And so we feel bad about it, and you know, there's just not much else to really say other than pray for that situation. Let's pray before we dig into the word here. We'll continue to lift up the McCullough family during this time, as Terry's health has declined even further. So we'll just keep them in our prayers for now. Lord, we lift you up today, and we're just so thankful that we can gather together as a body and worship you. And we just pray for this body of believers here, that we would continue to pursue your word and continue to pursue being Christ-like and following you. And I know we're going to stumble every once in a while, we're going to be hypocrites, and we're going to fall down. But Lord, we just pray that you pick us up through your Holy Spirit. And we pray today for Brad and Terry as they continue to struggle with health, especially for Terry. And we just pray for the household as they had a pretty rough meeting this past week. And we just pray that you'd be there with them and you'd guide that family during this time. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone who is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." You know, I remember the times back in school when, you know, birthday invitations were a thing. And you get excited when those birthday invitations came around, because you'd walk into school and you'd see like your chums or your friends, and they all had like a little envelope, and you're like, oh, I know what that is. That is one of those birthday invites, and your anticipation and excitement starts to well up a little bit in you as you're like, I love going to birthday parties. There's stuff like sugary treats and kind of garbage eats and cake and stuff like that that you get to participate in, and all your friends are all gathered there. Nowadays, that's not the same, is it? You just get like as an adult, you get a Facebook invitation or, you know, a text or a phone call. Hey, we're doing a birthday thing, come on over. And you're like, great. The invitation just doesn't seem to have the punch like it once did. Sometimes we actually get an invitation that like kind of sends the shivers down our spine, and we're like, oh man, how do I get out of this invitation? I want nothing to do with it. And you're trying to find excuses and some sort of way to go around kind of circumventing going towards this person's birthday or towards some sort of event for them. Invitations nowadays, when they come in envelopes, are usually wedding invitations. They're glamorous and extravagant envelopes, and some of them have like weird things like sparkles and glitter inside of them, but there's meaning behind them. You see, I find us to be a very interesting, you know, the creation as a whole is interesting, and especially humanity, because as a creation, when our hearts are broken, because sometimes we don't get an invite, Even if we don't want to go to the place, we still want an invite. It's kind of weird. Today, I want us to look at probably the greatest invitation we could all possibly receive in Jesus' teachings. This invitation is one that should fill us with the utmost of joy, and it's the greatest promise and full of a love from God. Really, our hearts should accept this invitation because of the promise and gift that we are going to receive through the invitation itself. John 37, 38, on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." Let's take us back to the setting of what's occurring here at this point in time. We are at the Feast of Tabernacles in Jerusalem. There would have been food and drink and just a lot of people gathered at this event. And it's here that Jesus decides to stand up and preach in a loud voice. A good chunk of the attendees were amazed by the teachings of Jesus. And it led to them digging a little deeper to discover that Jesus is the expected Messiah. The Jewish leaders, though, they responded to these teachings with increased hatred towards Jesus. And it led to further scheming. And it eventually led to him being crucified on the cross. This day that we're reading of, it occurred on the eighth day of the festival. And so the next day is the last, like the festival is complete. There is no more. So a good chunk of the people would be departing for their homes. Really, what a great time for Jesus to drop kind of a truth bomb on these people just as they're about to depart. And everybody would have been at this last day festival. In this moment, Jesus, though, did not hand out little envelopes. But instead, he stood among the crowd and extended his invitation in a loud voice. And his invitation is a simple one, but it has such intensity behind it, as Jesus desires for all to know the truth. And he presents the core gospel to those crowded in Jerusalem. See, Jesus invites with intensity because he wanted to touch the souls of men and women and draw all of them to him. He did this as salvation is made available to the world only through Jesus Christ. Yes, this invitation happened in a particular time, but it is an invitation that still exists for everybody today in this world, regardless of who they are. Jesus says, "Let anyone who is thirsty." We are all thirsty. But it's a thirst of the human soul. And sometimes we don't know that that thirst even exists. Because the human soul is a thirsty soul. The only one that can bring satisfaction about this thirst is Jesus Christ. He is salvation for our souls as well as our physical and mental parts. To receive satisfaction and receive salvation, a person, though, must turn towards Jesus. I want us to look at this invitation just to start off with some of the simple wording that Jesus even uses, kind of identifies whom the recipients are meant to be. Jesus says this, "Let anyone." So in reading that, we need to see that all people, every single person, whether they're a frustrating person, whether they're undesirable, whether they're different skin color, whether they've grew up in a different environment, whatever it happens to be, everybody is included in the invitation. Jesus invites all, the lowest of the low, the most elite of the society. Everybody receives the exact same invitation. You do, and I do. Just think of the people that would have been gathered at the feast at this particular time. It's not just one particular group of one skin color or whatever it happens to be. Do you know who would have really been at this festival? Probably not, because maybe some of us are just like, "Hey, he's partying again, Jesus. Look at them go. But there would have been Jews here. It's a great number of them, as it's a Jewish festival that they're celebrating at this particular time. Literally, Jews from all over Palestine and in the Jewish Empire, they would have gathered for this feast because Jerusalem is the place to be whenever there's some sort of festival like this. It's kind of like, I guess, what we would view as New York, but it's kind of greater, right? Like when what is it, the ball drops on New Year's, you've got New York that everyone like watches on TV. It's like that. Everyone's gathered there at this point in time. Even non-Jews are gathered. The Gentiles, they would have been gathered at this feast as well. Some Gentiles would have converted to Judaism, and then some would have just wanted to be bystanders. Because sometimes they're just kind of, oh, there's a big thing happening in Jerusalem. So you start heading there, and you go there, and you participate in whatever it happens to be. I kind of, my mind when I was going through this, I thought of Robert in Fiji. He kind of cracked me up, as he was the guy that's just like, there's a party happening, and he's like, yes, I accept the invitation. And off he goes, and he's celebrating with people, and we're like, that is great. Where's this guy getting this energy from? But he was going to all the places that the parties were happening. When you think of the different types of people gathered during this festival, all we need to think about is kind of what happened in Pentecost, in Acts, and what really happened there. Peter was preaching to Parthians, Medes, Elamites, Libyans, Romans, Cretans, Arabians, Greeks, and many more. And this is the type of mixed group that would have been gathered in Jerusalem as Jesus was teaching. So Jesus does not limit his offer to just one people group or one social group. Jesus says, let anyone who is thirsty come and drink. All may come. And so today, the words from this pulpit and the words from this church, they need to have those words flow from our mouths and from our actions and from our spirits. All who bear witness to Christ need to echo this invitation to people they cross paths with. Today, maybe it's your heart that needs to respond to this invitation and ask, have I listened to Jesus' great invitation, and have I responded? Have you ever noticed that in this passage, Jesus is not detailed in what the nature of the thirst is? You see, at times, Jesus was specific. In Matthew 5, 6, blessed are those who are hungry and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. He talks about a thirst for righteousness in Matthew. But we can see there's no qualification for this thirst in John. He doesn't attach thirst for like a purity or goodness or holiness to this thirst. In fact, he doesn't even say you need to be thirsty for him. Jesus was not specific. Because in this case, there's no limitation to that thirst. If your soul is thirsty, period, come and drink from the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to Jesus. Oh, but Brad, I'm searching for pleasures right now, and you know, like, the pleasure I seek doesn't align with Christ's teachings. That's so unfortunate. My heart sincerely breaks for people who say stuff like that. And a choice has been made to pursue pleasure that is false. Real pleasure lasts and truly satisfied, and that true pleasure is found in Jesus Christ. Think of how quickly even the greatest of events or amusements can really become boring and lose all sense of being able to provide pleasure. People pursue greater highs and people pursue greater acts. People pursue greater fames and fortunes, and it just becomes an obsession and a cycle that can never, ever produce true satisfaction. Satisfaction remains elusive when it is not searched for in the person of Jesus Christ. Psalm 16:11, you make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. And maybe you'll be like, but Brad, I'm searching for wealth and riches. Is that not found in Jesus? In the sense of the world, are probably the way people ask that question. No. In the kingdom sense, yes, wealth and riches are ours. We are told that becoming children of God means that we become heirs of His. Romans 8:17. Now if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in His sufferings in order that we may also share in His glory. Think about what Mark 8:36 says about wealth of this world. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Recently, I would say I've been exposed to more people who've come to terms with the mortality and the fact that they realize that they're going to perish. People who are suffering and they're sick and they're dying. Our bodies are very finite and eventually we will all pass from the world. And when I talk to these people who are terminal or someone who's seen someone going down this road, they don't talk about their massive bank account. They don't talk about their fantastic red Hummer. And they don't talk about a fancy wardrobe that they've acquired throughout their lives. That's not what's on their mind. Each person points out the urgency of communicating love to everyone around them as they prepare their souls and the loved ones' souls for the afterlife to come. The message is clear when I hear from them. It's make sure the people are invited to Jesus. And so today I pray for a great thirst among the nations, and that thirst would cause people to turn to Jesus and believe on Him. May people identify the fact that their souls are thirsty right now. Let that be something that impacts the people in our community. Let that be something that impacts the people of our church. That they look upon themselves and they realize that something is not complete and they're missing something. And that's Jesus. I pray that those people that are thirsty turn to Jesus and believe on Him. Oh Lord, may people come to You in droves today. The invitation, it's open. All humanity. You see, Jesus gives an open invitation. But sometimes we miss that there's actually a condition attached. Jesus says, let anyone who is thirsty. It's absolutely an open invitation. But did you catch the condition in there? Person needs to be thirsty. As Jesus was saying this, he would have seen several types of eyes looking back at them. Some of those eyes would have hated Jesus. Some of those eyes would be indifferent, and others would just be clueless. Some would be full of love. At times, as a pastor, you can see those same eyes when you preach. It's the reality of how people respond to others and what they have to say. So in presenting Jesus, you really come across people who do not understand. And you also come across people who understand but choose to do nothing. Christ's invitation is extended to all, but people choose not to drink from the fountain of Jesus. They're stuck in a spiritual desert of their own making and have not listened to the warnings. Some understand that the law condemns, but then dismiss it as an old-fashioned notion that leaves us unaffected today. In fact, most people never admit that they thirst in the first place, and their soul cries out to be filled. And some people are just unaware that their soul thirsts in the first place. We all have a thirst in the soul. It's just that at times, some do not know how great that thirst really is. Today, for those who are thirsty, there is a cause for great rejoicing, as all you have to do is come to Jesus. John 7:37, let anyone who is thirsty come to Me and drink. Thankfully, there are directions that included with this invitation. You know how you're given those directions back in the day? You'd have like directions on how to get to the house. There's directions in this invitation as well. There's nothing like receiving an invitation and you don't know how to get there. The directions to the invitation state, come to me. If you are thirsty, come to Jesus. I love coming to church. We have these songs, we have hymns and choruses, we have rites and ceremonies that we perform, and there's preaching that happens, there's praying, there's worshiping. Each and every one of those acts is something that is intended to point us towards Jesus Christ. If any one of those things, though, becomes the main reason for us being here, this becomes a serious problem, and our soul still remains thirsty. Everything we do here is something that points to Jesus, and it always should. We cannot get caught up on one thing or another. Everything should point towards Jesus. See, when Jesus was in the flesh, and he's at the Feast of Tabernacles, we can really see how this kind of like ceremonial thing type plays a role. Each day of the 8 days of the Feast of Tabernacles, there's like certain ceremonies that are required. Jewish ceremonies and rites were always kind of done throughout these types of festivals and throughout these kind of days. Each day, these ceremonies were done in order to direct people's thoughts towards God's provision for them. As if you go back to Exodus, you can see that they remind people of how God saved them from slavery. Each ritual and ceremony pointed towards the promise of the Messiah to come and that he would finally fulfill these ceremonies. So here on this eighth day of the feast where Jesus stood and said loudly what he did, this day it has a very particular ceremony. The priests, along with the worshipers, they would head down to the Pool of Siloam. So they'd have to kind of walk through Jerusalem to get there. And when they were there, they'd take these golden pitchers and they'd fill these golden pitchers with the water from the pool. And so these worshipers and priests then would make their way back towards the temple in Jerusalem. And they would walk around the altar 7 times. And on the final kind of walk around, they would pour water on top of the altar. It's the ceremony that reminded the people of God's provision of water during the wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. I sometimes just want to like shout for joy in those moments. For 40 years, God provided water for them. And they complain about it the whole time. All right. But this is day 8 ceremony. So think about that in light of what Jesus goes on to say on that day. Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. These ceremonies, they had value in reminding people of God's past provisions. So they really can't be looked down upon. They would also point towards Jesus as the one who quenches spiritual thirst. And so we see that Jesus called people to turn from this ceremony and turn towards him. It's quite intense. Jesus invites us to come to him. Come in these verses means to believe, to have faith in him, and to commit yourself to him. Is that something that you will do? Coming to Jesus, it means you come to the one who came to this earth to redeem you. He died on the cross for your sin, and he rose again, being glorified by the Father. We are to come and drink from Jesus. Drinking for us, it means the same thing as come, but it takes the concept a little further as it involves appropriation. That which you drink becomes a part of you. If it is wholesome, it helps you grow. Christ wants to be a part of your life. You see, there's no prescription for the thirst of the soul. There's no drink but Jesus. And this is the great invitation for all of us today, for the world. And then we see that there's a promise in the invitation that he gives us. And when we look at it, we see that if you're thirsty, you will be quenched. Actually, that's not the promise at all here. Sometimes we just assume that. You see, Jesus points to a living, flowing water, which means we are the means by which others, along with ourselves, will be satisfied. In other words, Jesus is saying to be Christ-centered actually means to not be self-centered. To follow in the footsteps of Jesus, to be Christ-like means we are to be others-centered and be a blessing to the people of the world. It's actually a scary concept when you think about it. Not too often are we like big fans of thinking of other people and putting others first. But Jesus makes it clear that we are filled by belief in him. And you know, obviously how else would we be able to flow out towards others? So we don't need to worry too much about our self-satisfaction. The Spirit just, it will work like a living water in us. It fills us and then it continues to produce water. And it is going to quench our thirst. But even more so than that, we can actually use the Holy Spirit within us to impact others so that their thirst can be quenched as well. In drinking of Jesus, our minds should not be directed towards self, but to the soul satisfaction of others. How often do we have that mindset? How often do we look out on the people of this world, the person next to us in line at Walmart or behind us at the gas station, and we just say, where's your soul at today? Are you thirsty? Is that something that's been quenched in your life? You know, unfortunately, Christianity today has left us in this kind of area where we're just like, my soul's satisfied and that's all that matters. I'm filling myself daily and I'm feeling good about where I'm at with my walk with Jesus. And there's nothing wrong with that. But there's a problem when that's where it stops. And we stop considering the world around us where Jesus has called us to minister to people, to pour into them and be that flowing water. And when we stop doing that, we stop being the church that Christ has called us to be. You see, the work of the Holy Spirit is to make you exactly as Christ is. That means being interested in others' souls and in serving and giving, because that is what Jesus did. Jesus loved, he served, and he gave to death, literally. And so when I look at that, I'm like, man, do others receive the invitation of Jesus because of the overflowing waters within me, within you? Are other people just like, man, this Jesus is an amazing guy because you are flowing with water right now? Sometimes I hope so, but I know at times this is not the case for me, and I need to allow the Holy Spirit more access to me and allow him to flow through me in abundance so that people know Jesus. Think about what it would be like if each and every one of us were to be an overflowing of blessing to those around us. What do you think that would look like in this community to the people of this world if we literally put others first? I kind of well up with joy just picturing that kind of love and grace. This is something that we are called to. We are called to flood the nations with the living waters of Jesus Christ. We should all just be longing for this flooding. And the start of the flood, it begins with us attaching ourselves to Jesus Christ. Spurgeon preached about this flood once before. He talked of the incoming tides of the, the Thames, I'm not sure what it is, British people will correct me, but the Thames, and how the incoming tides would lift great river barges. The tide would eventually leave and the barges would be grounded in the mud. Nothing could move the barges. There was no machine or group of men that would cause the ships, these great barges, to budge from the mud. They were stuck there when the tide went away. The tide, though, would eventually come back, and the large barges would float again. And with the barges up floating on water, a child could literally move them with the push of his hand. We need to be a flood of God's grace. There are barges everywhere that we turn, and they're not moving. They're stuck in the mud. And unfortunately, it's even some people like us Christians, as we don't care about another person's spiritual well-being. These people need to float, and so do we. This is something that we need to pray and work for, that the tide's going to come and allow the Spirit to flow from you and me and bring living water into a dying world that is full of mud. God's Spirit is ready to come pour out on our community. Think about that. And it starts with simply accepting an invitation that is given to us, an invitation to follow Jesus. Sometimes we make this journey so tough and we make it seem so hard to follow Jesus. He's the one that comes all the way to us with this invitation. And all we have to do is be like, yes, I believe. And when we do that, our mindset should be impacted by the Holy Spirit as we allow him into our lives so that we can be a flood for this community, for this church, for this nation. Let's help by accepting the invitation today. Pray with me. Oh Lord, we thank you for what you do for us and for the living water that you give us. I pray that today, that if we haven't made that decision to accept your invitation, Lord, that we would pray in our hearts today, Lord, I believe that you are who you say you are, that you died on the cross for my sins. I understand that I'm a sinner, Lord Jesus. Please forgive my sins. And please become my Savior. We thank you for what you do in our lives and in our world. And we pray today that this church, that we would be living water and we pour into our community and we just flood this area with the Holy Spirit. And that droves would come to know you. Because we are a church, we're a people, we're a person that wants to reach those in your name. Let us not be satisfied with having our souls filled, but let us also pursue the filling of other souls. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Call the worship team up here.